order to the people that are placed in authority, spiritual authority in the churches, how we should see them as God's putting there in that place. So it's not about age, neither is it about our how learned this person is than you. But once the person is placed ahead of you in spiritual position, in physical position over you in the church, you honor that person as God put him in that position. And then secondly, talk about our devotion, that the ministry of Jesus is our devotion. So anything, particularly you said, anything, if anything didn't work at all, we should ensure that this one work, which is the ministry of Jesus. And if everything work, we should ensure that this also works better. So in general, it's talking about priority. So the ministry of Jesus is our devotion. That should be our religion. That should be what we are saying at all time. And we should place it as number one in our priority.
Thank you. Roger. Praise God. I learned on Bible interpretation. That is very, very important for us to get it right. Bible interpretation is as is very good. And if we get it rightly, because a lot of errors have been on ground because of not getting the right Bible interpretation. So if we get the Bible interpretation right, it can go a long way in getting us, you know, be on the right path. And I also learned that we should not disdain the right Bible interpretation. That's those people who are on the right path, doing the right Bible interpretation. We should not disdain them. We should be a good follower of them and also stick to them.
Okay. I also learned the fact that ministry is men is more is priority in ministry, not money, not fine. They are also necessary, but the priority in ministry is men. Is to see that men get better. Is to see that we commit this thing that we learn to men that we also committed to others. As much as important as the money is, it is like Pastor always say, is a subtle need in ministry. Men are the key thing. Ministry for ministry, men is the key thing, not money.
Praise God. I learned that the life I live is not for myself. Like, if Jesus has lived for himself, we'll not be in church today. So, and whatever you, where your heart is, you give to it. When your heart is not there, you don't give to it. So you give more in ministry. Thank you.
Praise God. I learned that the end of God's journey is to reveal himself to man. So, upon receiving the Holy Ghost, that some things became clearer to man. So, and we cannot study things without including Christ. We have to study them in Christ, like the study of angels. Yes, sir. Yeah, so you have to study them in Christ, like Christology, study of Christ. Yes, sir. Yes. So you have to study them in Christ, like even eschatology, study of future events, you have to study them in Christ. So everything must be in relation to Christ.
Praise God. What I learned mainly was from efficiencies. That's when they say the wife should obey the husband, then like the relationship of the family, then servant to master relationship. That those things are there because of order, that God placed order in the family. And in church, so, the church order is not a master-slave relationship. It's a leadership and follower-ship relationship, something like that. And love is the motivation why we obey. Love is the motivation why we follow our leaders, not because of pride, not because of fame or anything, but because of love. The leader and the followers.
It's over God's heritage, love. Thank you. Sarux, come on.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I learned that we, in any serving God, we should not put him on the first, so that we can serve God in any situation we find ourselves in. We must not feel like we must make it, that we have to make it before serving God. And secondly, when helping others, we should not anticipate to get anything back from them. We should serve them with the whole. We should help them and serve them with the whole heart. Praise God.
See her trance, right? See how she was flowing. Oh God, you will preach, sir. Think we are joking here.
Praise God.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I learned from 2 Peter chapter 1, where he said we should add diligence, we should add faithfulness. He just listed it there now. Pastor told us that it is the same fruit of the Spirit that was listed in the book of Galatians. Now, those fruits, they are in us. Now, it is telling us there, I learned that it's telling us there that we should do it. Not because, it's not as if we are looking for it to do. It is already in us.
Yes.
So now we are doing it. So, if the Bible, if Jesus has called us faithful, we have the responsibility to act faithful. If Jesus has called us love, we have the responsibility to act in love. It is in us. And I also learn where to place my priority. I know that I am here to learn. So now my priority of being here should be learning. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yes, Sati. Go.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I learned instruction. I learned that now that we have been taught, we are also to be instructed. Now, and when we are given such instruction, we should not go to a naughty corner and say, I won't do it again. I won't respond to what I've been taught. Then, the case of Stephen and Philip, they were initially not put in the forefront, but along the line, because opportunity came for them, they were able to serve and they brought out what was in them. And according to what we read in Acts 7, I think in verse 38-40, and Philip taught and went all about teaching the gospel. So when opportunity arises for you to bring out what God has placed in you, should not hesitate. Praise God.
Okay, that's Acts 8, the last 2 verses. Happy, come on, say something. Ashai? That's right. Go. Yeah.
I learned that Bible interpretation is Bible itself. Wow. That we should not.
It's as keep, important as the Bible itself.
It's as important as the Bible itself. That we should not keep company with friends who dishonor our attention. That
we should not keep company with friends that dishonor Bible interpretation. Ashai, next time you'll be Buddha. Thank you. Awesome. Bye, Manuel. Have a go.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What I learned is how we know if the person we are following is of Christ. The first point is you wait for the obvious. How you wait for the obvious is the person will openly declare.
Just listen to this. Start again.
What I learned is how we know if the person we are following is of
Christ. Nobody, this is important. We are all mobile. You may all have to move from here next day, next year. You are going back to school. How do I know I am following the right person? Go again. Yes?
How we know is that there are 3 points laid out. The first is that you wait for the obvious. How you wait for the obvious is that the person with time will openly declare he's not of Christ or he's rebellion towards Jesus.
Good.
That's how you know. The first is we have the scriptures to go through and check if the person is really of Christ. And the third is we have the Spirit in our witness to know.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir. Man of God. Okay, go.
I learned that service is what we do in ministry.
It's what we do.
Yes, service is what we do in ministry.
That's the introduction to ministry.
Yeah.
It's what we do. Thank you.
Also, that it's not the way to greatness,
oh,
but it is greatness in the greatness. Kingdom and in ministry. So, also learned that if there's anything, if there's any good thing, any act of service that I want to render to anyone, that their spiritual growth should be what I have in mind, not any other thing, but their spiritual
growth. Their spiritual growth.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's Dr. Christy. Have a go. Thank you.
I learned that we should bless men wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves. When Pastor said, you should be able to pastor people wherever you see yourself. So I learned we should be able to teach people wherever we are. And I learned that in fellowship, that's where we love one another.
Thank you. Pastor Nats?
Praise God.
Hallelujah, sir.
Learned a lot. And one of the things I learned, and I would like to talk about, is our devotion. Is quite clear to us right now that our devotion is to know God. After we have believed the gospel, the next thing is that we grow and become better in the knowledge of Christ. And the reason why we grow and learn is not just to make us reservoirs of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
But that we might be able to dispense the same to others, so that we might be able to reach out to others. That's why we come, we gather, we equip ourselves and grow, so that we can also transfer this same understanding to others, that we might grow together as the body. And then secondly, I also learned about orderliness. Orderliness. Now, if the church is a perfect example of orderliness,
yes, sir,
in the world, and others must are meant to learn from the church structure. Okay? Now, we are meant to obey instructions of the pastor, of the leadership. And in case our leader or our pastor have men that work with them,
yes, sir,
we must also be ready to submit to those who are delegated authorities.
Thank you, sir.
Because they are representing, they are direct voice from the pastor. So if we disrespect them, we are actually disrespecting the person who put them in those positions. So you can't say you respect your pastor and will not respect those that are his team. Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah. You know, truly the gift of God without repentance. Pastor, you always show you. Mommy. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Morning, go.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I learned that devotion.
Devotion, too.
Yes. That I'm serving because Jesus called us to serve.
Glory to God. Serve. I'm serving because Jesus served me and he called me to serve.
Yeah. And unwillingness to serve. Unwillingness to serve is also a disobedience.
Yes, ma'am. It's a trait of the people going to hell, so we don't copy them. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I know you will say more later. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Sister Rose, henceforth, anyone that speaks, you must quote a scripture. Sorry. Okay.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, in relating with other saints, I learned that in service, sometimes it will be necessary for you to give up certain rights and opinions, that what matters is the commission, which is the gospel, God's will, that we shouldn't let in offense, you know. And then I was corrected on, I knew that service was... that, you know, unlike what the world would say, that service in our faith is greatness. But then when emphasis was laid on what service really is, okay, I got to know that service is not just buying food for someone or, you know, just doing anything, but service is actually equipping yourself so much to be able to bless the person spiritually. Awesome. And edifying the person.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I can't quote the scripture.
I didn't have
it in mind. Okay, thank you, ma. Do you hope you have it in mind? Have a good one.
Praise God.
One of the things that...
All of you, close your notes and you quote scripture for me.
One of the things that stood out for me was the place of finance in ministry. I learned that we do ministry whether we have little or much. And another thing is that ministry is not... the success in ministry is not tied to the things we have physically or financial acquisitions or physical gains, but on how much we're able to edify others and the progress and growth of those we teach God's word. Now, knowing that the reward for ministry is not in physical things, not in wealth, but in the progress of the saints, we now place emphasis on teaching them the word before we give them physical things. So when someone is in need, the first thing we do is to feed them spiritually. Why not neglecting their physical needs? Oh, praise God.
Awesome. Thank you, ma. You quote my scripture for me at the end of the sermon. Sorry, I need to give Brian Joshua the pass. Let's pass it, sir. Yes, you must quote, or else you remain standing.
Thank you, sir. Okay, sir, thank you for the opportunity.
Hi.
Sir, I'm not preaching. Okay, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, sincerely. I've learned priority in the course of this series. Priority, how that from the beginning, the intention of God has been order. That he gave the man to the family for the sake of order, and also that is applicable to the church.
Yes, sir.
That order is God's mindset from the beginning. And I learned that as a minister, the motivation of we doing ministry should not be things, but to see that men grow and also they come to that particular stature the preacher is. So that's men grow. And secondly,
follow me as I follow Christ.
Yes, follow Christ. Me as I follow Christ. And also you were able to teach us that from Philippians 4 verse 11 down to 12, where Paul was saying, I've learned to abase and to abound. That is, the minister should not look into the pockets, the account of the saints, although he will teach the saints how to give, but his attention should be in them growing, not in their things, not in what they have, but in that they can grow and learn things spiritually, although they will also give by learning how to give from the scripture, not grudgingly, but with a cheerful heart. And
that is scripture you have quoted?
Philippians 4:11.
Quoted?
In all things, I've learned both to abase and to abound. Both to abase and to abound.
Keep going now. Both to
Suffer need and to enjoy. I don't
extra.
Sir, it's all paraphrase.
Okay,
sir. And today what I was able to get from today's teaching is that the preacher must see to it that his focus does not, for the sake of greed, cause sin to give grudgingly. That the saints should not focus on what the saints can.
At the end of the day, the purpose of the giving will not be achieved when that happens. The purpose. When people give grudgingly,
yes, sir.
You may the project may be done, but the heart will be spoiled. The heart of that saint. And at the end of the day, that attitude of grudginess, if there's something like that in the dictionary, it will replicate in other things.
Yes, sir.
So once we are saying for the profit, that profit, 1 Corinthians 13, once you give God, it's not the money will not come. It's not the alert will turn to water. No, you will see the alert. But at the end of the day, on the long run, it will be a deficit. It will be a deficit, rather,
yes,
to the ministry. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that's why you teach people. You are now allow people to respond with the what right intention. For instance, why did I ensure that I just thought three of the maybe over 10 I have to go today. Why did I allow some people to go so that I can now give room for who? For what? Willing hearts. If I have said close the door, force everybody to stay in church. Some people may stay, but next week, what will happen? You won't see them in church. So you must see allow for what willing mind in ministry. Exactly. So that is how to do it. You don't, there are some people that use apologetic tone too. Some people use instructive tone too. Since now, I cannot be using apologetic, I cannot be begging them to stay in church. What? No husband at home. Amen. And the husband, maybe there's a husband, there's going to be a video, I'm going to be here. So are you done? Sorry. I cut it short. Thank you. Stop it. You must go to scripture. Yes, go. Talk, call, and don't feminism.
Okay. I learned that in church, we treat saints as important. And then we don't take advantage of people in church. We don't take advantage of one another. There is no favoritism whatsoever in church. And then from 1 Corinthians 11, from 17 to 22,
awesome.
Paul was talking about those that come to church and then they just eat and not. It was actually talking about law feasts, not Holy Communion. And then how that they just come and eat, they don't
think of the other person, the one that has so much that he eats and is full and drunken, and then the other that don't have at all to eat. So I learned that we don't do that in church. We wait for one another. We love each other. And then verse 23. Okay, one other thing in 1 Corinthians 11 from 23, we saw that Paul was using the Passover to correct them. So you don't correct saints outside doctrine.
Thank you.
You correct sense with doctrine. So he used the Passover, how that what we're supposed to take from that Passover was the oneness, the unity that they shared. That is what we ought to share in church. So I learned that in church, one, we should be a people of oneness. We should not pick or receive offense. We should be the one to show love if the need arises. Okay, we should not say because this brother A did not show me love, so I can't show back, I can't express it back. But we have it inside of us and we can give it. We don't have any other thing to give aside what the fruit of the Spirit in us. That is what we have to give. So in correcting sense, we correct with doctrine, and then we don't take advantage of each other. There is no favoritism in church. If we have somebody lend you money, pay back. I learned that specifically. Okay, you pay back. You don't wait for the person to even come and ask you. You just pay back. All right. So in church.
Why?
Because it will cause if you don't pay back, the person may not be able to receive your ministry. It will cause a dishonor.
Not only that, from people standing. Why? Give somebody the microphone, yes?
It might make the person, probably if the person was serious, like in zeal, it can reduce the person's zeal, or it can, might discourage the person from coming to church.
Thank you. It can reduce the person's zeal, right?
Yes, or discourage the person from coming to church.
Can discourage the person from coming to church. Okay. Who else can help among you, please, to make it better? Why must I not take advantage of people in church? Use the words I used, just like the sermon you gave us during your song today. Yes? Somebody else? Anybody? I used some words specifically. We must not use the natural to spoil the supernatural. I say, for instance, we also use the temporal, the physical things, to spoil the spiritual, the eternal. I say, ye, that we must relate is spiritual, but how we relate is what? Is physical, right? So we must not use something in the physical, we must not use that one to what? So that's why we say, give none offense, none to the Gentiles, none to the Jews, none to the church of God. That means don't pick offense and don't be the one that will what? Create offense. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Give Sister Grace the microphone. Is that there? Oh. Okay. Then all of you stand till she comes back. Okay. Yes. Sister Grace, go. Yes.
Okay. First.
Fast. I'm on live stream.
I learned that it is a good thing to desire to serve. And is it 1 Timothy 3:1? He that desire the office of a bishop, desire a good work.
Okay.
It's not of course
to desire.
Then when you desire, you go and meet someone to learn. You don't go and say, I've come to become a pastor. You said.
Come now. Yes, sir.
You say, I've come to learn. And you do that by three important things.
Awesome.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Availability and faithfulness.
Kramer's rule. Main one. You think someone is cramming? Yes. And what's the last one? Availability, faithfulness, and what? Accountability. Thank you. Give Brad the microphone. Thank you. Yes, tell us something you have learned. Yes, be fast.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I
have
one major thing I've learned in this.
Then talk, come and sit down, please.
In the ministry, we have to, according to
drop that suit, it will not allow you to talk.
Okay, according to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, from 15 and 16, said, that when we in the ministry, we teach saints before instructing and correcting. So that when you instruct without teaching, it will be manipulation.
Thank you.
But when you teach alone without instructing, it will be indulgence. That is antichristos.
Hey.
That you have to
I've taught you to honor the gathering of saints, right? I'm not to be coming late. So now it's time for a correction. So thank you. Awesome. Awesome. It's okay. Give Savivian.
Okay. I learned from
You learned years ago.
I learned that you don't just teach a believer, we are mandated of God to instruct believers also.
Okay.
And these instructions comes after teaching, not before. That's from 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God.
Everybody knows that in this church, yes.
Okay, then I also learned that to know the man to follow is to decipher the end of their conversation.
Decipher.
Yeah. You have to know the output, the result of what the man is saying. Not necessarily the tediousness, the things you're going through to learn, like the exams and all the things, the stress and all that. But is to know the end of the
You boys have to
is to understand the end of their conversation. That is from Hebrews 13:7.
I know you want what you just be easy. Okay, who is out there? Pastor Joy? Okay, Pastor Joy, go. She's gone again. Okay, Brasimi? Talk now. Brasimi first. Come inside and speak. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
You're on live stream. You know you're a fan. Facebook, it's Stephen Abiodun that is speaking to you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. In the parts 1 and 2 of offices, I learned about the lady that poured oil on Jesus' feet, that used her hair to wash Jesus' feet with oil. And you talk about the fact that is when Jesus said she will forever be mentioned when the gospel is being preached.
Yes,
that is talking about sacrifice. Then you emphasize that ministry is all about sacrifice, not necessarily not literal what the woman did.
Is it saying that anywhere we preach the gospel around the world, we must mention the woman with the other pastor bus? I know. So clarify it for us. What must be mentioned?
Is the sacrifice.
Which sacrifice?
The sacrifice of Jesus and the selfless sacrifice of preaching the gospel.
Good. That means anywhere you preach the message in the whole world, tell them that this thing is priority. Ensure the message. How do I put it again? Ensure the gospel, for it to progress, it cannot be separated from sacrifice. That means, what is the sacrifice? Give somebody else. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Who can explain sacrifice? Pastor Joy, come and explain sacrifice. Explain sacrifice.
Okay, sacrifice is in terms of priority, things that you have to let go, that you can't do everything at the same pace. You definitely have to tamper your pace in certain other things so that you can make progress in this. So the believer cannot afford to try to be the best in everything. So they are, as a believer, you are taught of God to reduce your pace or step down. That's what you use. Step down your pace. So that's the sacrifice, what you have to let go to be.
Thank you. Give Aja the microphone. Aja, explain Romans 12:1-2 as thoughts today.
Okay. I learned that.
You say you are. It's not what my pastor said.
That scripture, that Romans 12, living sacrifice, comparing it with what Moses, what they did during the sacrifice they used to offer during the days of the Old Testament. So that sacrifice was a dead sacrifice, but now we are offering a living sacrifice, which means that living sacrifice means that you have your own will. You know, you're not you're not dead. You're not. It's not like you're a robot. You're not a robot. But you have your own will. But you submit your will to do God's will. That's living, as in being a living sacrifice. You know, comparing it with that time, they offer a dead sacrifice. The sacrifice is dead. It's just dead.
But you can escape.
Okay, exactly. You can escape, but you refuse to. You say you will not escape. You stayed. So you have your own will, and you just let down your will for the will of God to be done.
Thank you. Brakin, do you have anything to teach us?
Sir, I have not said my.
Okay, you can go. Okay, go. Yes, finish up.
Okay, then.
Hakim, if you come, let me see your face. Oh, you can't escape.
Personally,
yes?
I learned that. The ministry that is being done here towards us, it affects our leaders. Like how I respond to the ministry done to me would actually affect my leaders. So I have the responsibility of always always receiving the ministry done to me with joy so that I can support or strengthen my leaders to do more, to do better in the work which God has called them to do.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Skabuki, what did I say as touching? Why must everybody not be asking pastor all the questions? Something like that.
So that a pastor can have time to for the important thing, for the spiritual thing. For all that lineage, the pastor has put some people there.
Okay,
there is order.
Yes.
Because of this order, because the pastor has put some other people in place, that we can always go to meet these people for any of those things.
Why?
So that the pastor can have time to prepare messages.
Leave the pastor's one.
So that you will not weary the pastor.
The same thing. Yes. Next.
So that the God can progress as well.
You have not said something.
Okay,
something.
So that we can empower also the leader.
But I'll go, yes. Send the microphone to the front. You are standing there all through today, yes? Yes,
okay, so that the pastor will not grow gray hair.
Send the microphone to the front.
So
that they can the microphone, Jerry.
Praise God.
Yes.
The main reason what pastor said concerning that is that when you go to meet other people, like probably you ask them questions, it's make them like double up in their learning.
Good. Yes. You will empower them. He's shaking head for you. Okay, if I over to you. Sorry, if I come over to you. Then back in.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, praise God. Okay, learned so much.
Okay, start working.
Okay, offices want to hate.
Stay in one place.
Stay here. Okay, I learned orderliness.
He stay in the place.
How many places?
Oh yes, he's speaking.
Okay. According to Hebrews 13:17, uh-huh. I should obey those that God has placed over us to rule us. So that rule means appointed, set. So you said something that God used men to bless us, but men use men to bless us better. So orderliness in the church is the highest demonstration of orderliness. It's the one that actually demonstrate the orderliness all over the world. So then First Peter, explained First Peter.
Chapter what? Yes. Chapter what?
Two, sir.
Verse
from verse 1 to
me, First Peter chapter 2.
Sorry, Second Peter.
Verse what?
Verse.
Second Peter what?
Second
Peter. Do you know what? Second Peter chapter 2? Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, explain Sodom and Gomorrah for you. First Peter.
No, sir.
So you are demonstrating, you are catwalking. Catch you. Give Brakim, explain what he was trying to say. Oh, why are you there this morning? No. Okay. Okay, say something from yesterday, Brad Kim. You tell you are trying to quote 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay? Give all diligence, right?
A sound discipler is your call to ministry.
Oh, God.
See the emoji. A sound discipler is your call to ministry.
Is a call.
Is a call to ministry. So
that means if you have Pastor Nainka as you are living in his house, or you are living in his house, should you already be current? Yes. Thank you. Keep going. Sorry for you that way. I'm not
okay. Discouraged. So that should make us understand that we have a call on our lives, and then it should make us learn faster.
Good.
And I'm quoting from 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Say, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, and perseverance. So that's to tell you that Timothy followed, learned well from Paul, and
you read from it, you didn't quote from it.
Yeah, I didn't quote from it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Send the microphone to the front. Okay, when Izzy comes, you all come and sit down. Amen, amen. Praise God. Pick your notes and you must write why I'm seeing you. So, this is part what? Part 9, right? So, you must want to serve in physical things as much as wanting to preach. Please don't disturb. You must desire, you must love, you must want to serve in physical things. Please don't sit down. You can use table, but don't sit down, please. You must want to serve in physical things as much as you want to preach. We're on live stream. Let's be orderly, please. Amen, amen. And to serve in physical things, you must be available. That is clear. You must be available. See, I'm a member of my church, not a guest minister. You are a member. You are not a guest minister. You are a member, not a guest minister. So, it is not anointing in quotes that grows up a church. It's the willingness to serve. It's not in quotes. It's not charisma that grows up a place. It's that willingness to serve. Hallelujah. So when you hear that call to serve, respond with honor. Respond with honor. For instance, do you know I could have called today a special program, put flyer, put everything, and that is what will make some come. But please, the real thing that grows up a church is somebody that responds to honor when the call comes. When you just hear that it's time to move, you respond with honor. Even at times when you have lawful excuse for you not to do what you are told to do, that honor must yet be there. The way you will go about the excuse must yet show honor for the ministry that, yes, I know I ought to have been part of this. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, like I told you, it's weak foundation to base your dedication on such. It's a weak dedication to base your Christian work on such. You don't need to be cajoled to serve God. You don't need to be bobbled. No bobo. Let's add ED. Bobbled, right? You don't need to be bobbled to be cajoled to serve God. So Luke 24, verse 46. So let's see some prescription for ministry in the Bible. Prescription for ministry. You didn't bring that copy? Prescription for ministry in the Bible. Luke 24, 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 47. And that, use your system. Or, since you are not prepared for that. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at where? Beginning at Jerusalem. 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Come and sit down if you can see her. Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So who was primarily, Luke 24, who was it speaking about? Please pay attention. Sorry, if you have cell people who are committed to your cell meetings, please, if you can text them to meet you in church this evening, it will be better. Please, I'm already an hour past time, so it still will finish. I want tomorrow evening to be free, so that you can have time. Don't forget the real what we do here is to learn. The real ministry is out there. Are you with me? We learn so that we can do. So I must also give you much time for you to reach out. You guys, for new workers membership training, that PR note must be full. Okay, are you with me? It must be full. It must be bogus. It must be fast. It must be rich. Praise God. So please, you must reach, especially those you have that has given you audience once. Go back to them. Teach them. Don't spare anybody from ministry. Don't spare anybody from being serious with what he has learned. Amen. So we are going to finish this today. I don't really finish this. I don't see us finishing this series, but at least we finish the series 2 today. Soon we start the series 3. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? So I said, see that Luke 24 and Acts 1:8. Primarily, who was he speaking about? The apostles. Like, for instance, you, are you to tarry in Jerusalem? Do you have any Jerusalem to tarry? So that means the life of these men were given us of Christ. I will explain. These apostles, right? Their life were given us of Christ. You know, there is this subtle deception for you to say, that is Paul's zone. That means to have the Holy Ghost. Paul has the Holy Ghost. That is Paul's zone. That is Peter's zone. Let me do my own. Please, I want you to learn that right now. So, this Acts 1:8, Luke 24, primarily it was not talking to us. It was talking to them. They are the first New Testament ministers in history. That says a lot. And that status will not change. Sapis on the slave. And that status will never change. They are the first New Testament ministers in history. And that status will never change. These men, their lifestyle is doctrinal to us. Come in there. These men, their lifestyle in the ministry are doctrinal to us. Let me say it again. The life and discretion of the apostles, don't miss any of these words though. The life and discretion of the apostle, as judged by the epistles, are doctrine to us. The life and discretion of the apostles, as judged by the epistles, are doctrine to us. You cannot say that is Paul's zone, for instance. You can't say that. That is the man that told you Christ is in you. Their lifestyle cannot mean nothing to you. You will see several discretion, and there are several pointers in the Bible to tell you that this man, how they lived, their ministry pattern is not just because of them. It's what we must all emulate. Hebrews 13, I'll be fast. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Hebrews 13, verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live out honestly. Wow. This is for you to trust their message. Write that down. This is for you to trust their message. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. That is for you to trust their message. 1 verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you all. Their life, our creed. Write that down. Their life, our creed. Their lifestyle is our creed. Their lifestyle is our creed. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. See, but let every man take it how he buildeth thereon. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. First Corinthians 9. This is a long read. Okay, so let's do it left and right. Left hand side of God. Let's read verse 1. Want to go? Yes. Am I not an apostle to? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work? Verse 2. Yes, right hand side. Okay. Yes, verse 3. Yes, left hand side now. Okay, verse 4, yes. Verse 5, have we not power to lead about Statola, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and serve us? Yes, my right. Verse 7, yes. Who goeth to a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the meat thereof? Verse 8, yes, right hand. Verse 9, yes, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that tread out the corn. Doth God care for the oxen? Verse 10. Verse 11, see it, yes. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great need that we should reap your what? Carnal things. Verse 12, yes, sir. Please, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should what? Hold on. Lest we should hinder the gospel. Say, love is greater than our rights in ministry. Love is greater. Love, 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 love of saints to edification, right? Is greater than our rights. Is greater. Is greater. Okay, 13, left hand side. Let me wait for you. I see writing. 1, 2, go. Okay. Do not they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Verse 14, yes. They which preach the gospel should what? 15, what? But, say but. Say although. They that are preached by the gospel should live by the gospel, but the first ministers, say, but the first ministers, the first New Testament ministers, gave us a discretion that we must respect. That is a lot. But the first New Testament ministers in history, they gave us a discretion that we must respect. Okay, verse 15. Is it left or right side now? Okay, right now, right. Yes, let's read, yes. Bros, what are you reading? 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written this thing that it should be done unto me, for if it were better for me to die than my glory. Boy, thank you. 16, yes. Seventeen. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is come unto me. 18, sir. I may make the gospel of Christ without shock. Wow. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. 19, yes. Yet have I made myself servant to all, that I might, say that I might, what? Gain the more. Amen, amen. Okay, thank you. 20 now, yes. I became, that I might, yes. That I might gain them. 21, thank you. As without law, be not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, I may gain them that are without. 22, yes. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 23. for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. 24. So run that you may say, so run that you may what? Thank you. 25. Is temperate in how many things?
All.
In how many things? All things. Now they do to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and what? Thank you. 626. So run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beated the air. 27. Where everybody want to go? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself shall be a what? Cast away. Amen, amen. So, of course, from can see as you have read everything, that cast away cannot make you afraid again. That means, lest I should fail, but it should still make you afraid because it's talking about ministry. That means, lest I should not profit in ministry, lest I should not, any other word, please, lest I should be disqualified, right? That is the proper Greek word. Lest I should not, lest I should lose my reward. E.g., if you combine that verse with verse, oh God, come, where are you? I made unto that I may save some. Which verse is that? That I may save some. 22. Yes, to the weak, I became weak, that I may gain the weak, I make all things to all men, that I may save some. So if you combine 22 with 27, you now say, but I keep under my body, I'm bringing it to something less by any means. When I have preached to others, I should not save them. That means, although I am doing ministry, it's not getting to the end of ministry. Are you with me? That means when you put your own right above the ministry, what will happen? The right intention, the end, the right result. See, we have men's result and we have God's result. Write this down. Key in God's result is continuity. Key in God's result is not just that this church bloom tomorrow. It's that the work we are going to do this year should be on ground in the next 100 years. That's God's result. Are you getting me? Your result can just make your church boom in the next 1 year, in the next 2 years. But it's only God's result that will ensure that what has been done for God will never die. Say, key in God's result is continuity. That's why I said that's 1 Corinthians 13 is key. That means you can bestow all your gifts to all your goods to feed the poor, yet love is missing. At the end of the day, that giving can achieve the purpose for 1 week, for 2 weeks, but on the long run, what will happen? If you fail, thank you, sir. The purpose will not be achieved. Because, for instance, I say as touching giving, if there is love, will the giving be once or it will be repetitive? That means the giving will not stop. But if you get grudgingly once, if I tell you to come and give next time again, most likely you will not give. That is why, like I say, in church, we teach saints and we just rely on them to respond out freely, right? But if you ask them to do it today, it may not work tomorrow. At the end of the day, so on the long run, we have become worse. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 11. 2 Corinthians now 12 verse 11. So, selflessness is glory in ministry. Selflessness is glory in ministry. And we cannot change that definition. We cannot. The life and discretion of the apostles, they are doctrine for us. Let me say it again. The life and discretion of the apostles, as judged by the epistles, they are doctrine. You can't deviate. You can't say, I will do ministry, but I will seek my own rights. I will do ministry, but I will use saints to do my own thing. You can't say that. These are the first New Testament ministers in history. Okay, 12 verse 11. Am I become a fool in glory? You have compelled me, for I ought to have be commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, do I be nothing. Verse 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 12. Truly the signs of an apostle who are wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And for what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself were not burdensome to you. Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come unto you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but I seek what you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. 15. And I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. 16. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with a guile. 17. Did I make gain of you by any of them whom I sent to you? I desire Titus, with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same step? Verse 19. Want to go? Yes? Think we that to you. We speak before God in Christ. We do all things dearly, beloved, for your edifying. Go to chapter 11, verse 7. 7. These ties are doctrine to us. They are creed to us. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you may be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Amen, amen. That means you will rely on the mature to sponsor the gospel. Write that down, please. This is doctrine. You don't go to a new place and you are trying to tell them to give. You will go to those who have understood what? Priority, understood ministry. They are the ones that should support in finances. If you are giving and you have a project you are doing, I don't really subscribe to a first timer saying, okay, let me be part of this. Come and learn why we are doing what we are doing first. Or somebody that is not serious with ministry, just say, I just want to be part of your project. Just like, oh, I heard a very funny one that Prophet Chamber told us. I don't know, you remember? He said somebody came to his church. Very funny. He said somebody came to his church. Say he was outside. He said the guy was outside and he was preaching. And Prophet Chamber said, okay. And this man said, an usher went to meet him that sense. Please come inside now. He said, No. I just want to pay my tithe and go. He said, come and sit down first. Let me just finish preaching. Then I'll give him time and go. Then he can bless me. So let the man come outside. Maybe some weeks ago. So let him just come and take tithe, then he bless him, then we go. I didn't know this brother, he said, okay, you don't take such in this place. You can go. That is a minister. Don't say, don't worry, I will bring him in. I will take the money. I will now teach him that. No, let him go. What did Peter say in Acts chapter 8? Let your money perish with you. Their lifestyle, their discretion. You cannot have your own Christianity. What has been causing confusion all this why is we, everybody is trying to be unique. You can't be unique. You are not called to be unique. There is a foundation that has been laid. So like I said, when he said I rob other churches, taking wages of them to do service, it's not just saying taking, he's talking about those who are matured, the people he has labored on, the people who will not stop giving, the people that I will not tell give to the gospel and they will pick offense. I will go and take of them so that when I'm preaching to you, you will not think I am here for anything. You can receive my message. So who supports the gospel? The matured. Say the matured. Thank you. That's why the matured should walk. The matured should walk. Verse 9. So he relied on their giving for these people's stability. When I was present with you and wanted. See, when I was present and what? And I am in need, I am in want. I was chargeable to no man. That is a loss. Many ministers cannot say this. For that which is lacking to me, the brethren which came from where? Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. So will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, and by the time you see the type of people in 1 Corinthians, when you say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Joshua, I'm of... They already know that these are serious guys. And Paul is right to have done this. So as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia, that is Corinth's area. And wherefore, because... Why? Because I love you not, God knows. Let's read verse 12. Want to go? But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion. That whereas they glory, they may be found even as we. Hallelujah. That's the Lord. That I may cut off occasion. The people, that means by the time I have given you so much and I am asking for nothing, if somebody is now giving you so little, if he asks for something, you should know that this is a false apostle. That I might cut, just try and write that down, you can write it down, that I may cut off occasion from those who are desiring occasion. Brethren, these sermons are for today and for years to come. So, that we are faster in our generation, smarter, that we have smartphones, smartwatches, does not mean we can have our own Christianity. The faith of Christ as a foundation. These are the very first new creations in history. People who explain the New Testament ministry. That cannot mean nothing to us. Acts 15. At this age, some people will still be saying that believers must keep the law of Moses. Because the first, one of the first church pastors gave a verdict years ago. It's a verdict. We are all binding by it. See Acts 15. Don't forget what I said. The life is the description of the apostles as judged by the words epistles. Don't forget that as judged. So Acts 15, that means anything you are reading in Acts, you must first have substantiated it, established it where? In the epistles before you pick it. Acts 15 verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declare all things that God has done with them. Verse 5, but there arose certain of the sects of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And 6, and the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. Verse 7, and when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knew the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke upon the neck of these disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, hallelujah, we shall be what?
Saved.
So what saves? Rituals or the grace of Jesus? The grace of the Lord Jesus. Even as they. And see, verse 12. And all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. So, people were still preaching earring, trouser at this age because of the law of Moses. They are Acts to like 22. See, oh God, the early church already agrees these are not things that condemns a man. So hold your peace. The first church before your church, the first church, like first church, they already agree that these are not things that condemns a man. So hold your peace. You can't be wiser. We can't be wiser. A foundation has been laid. Rush to Ephesians 2:18. A foundation has been laid of this faith, of this Christianity, that we are permitted to have different church name. We are permitted to have different church, church venue, different church, whatever. But you cannot have your own what? Christianity. You cannot. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 21 to go. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Specific. Say specific. Those two people are specific. Specific, talking about the early church. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 3 verse 1. Specific. And for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given, okay, which is given me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by who? By the Spirit. So I told you that ultimate fulfillment of that 1 Corinthians 2, when he's saying, who has known the things of God, but we have the mind of Christ, right? Is the ultimate fulfillment is where? In the epistles, that's the apostles, their creed, what they said, things they said. Amen, amen. So what God has done through this many, he has done. How? Because they are the first church. That's simple. What God has done through this man, he has done. Why? Because they are the first church, the first set of believers. So we simply take after. We all came from them. Nobody can say, I want my own Christianity. Nobody can say that is Paul's own. Nobody can say that is Peter's own, unless you're not born again. We have the same spirit. Deeper life cannot go against the doctrine of the apostles as judged by the epistle. So these men are special. Just write the one you can remember. They are special. They are the first. And it's not that God gave them a special scripture. No. Not really because they saw Jesus physically. But e.g., Paul almost never saw Jesus, right? So now it seems natural. Yes. Like it seems like they are just apostles by luck. But no, that is a divine ordination. Seems natural, but that is divine ordination. That is calling. To go against their words will be to go against God. Oh God. To go against their words will be to go against God. See, don't allow this natural waste, this natural body, don't allow it to fool you. Don't allow it to confuse you. God is well enthroned in man's activities. Don't allow the body to fool you. God is well enthroned in man's activities. God is well enthroned in man's activities. Oh God. First Corinthians 15. Before that, Ephesians 3:6-7, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in the Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to what? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, okay, let's read this one together too. By my left, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, don't get tired, come on, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. Verse 2, by my right, yes? For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to verse 4, yes? He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Verse 5, and he was seen of who? That's Peter, then of the 12. Verse 6, yes? That 7, yes, sirs. And after that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. Verse 8, And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born of. For I am the least, yes, of the apostles, that I am not mean to be called an apostle because I have persuaded the church. Yes, verse 10. The grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which. Now, yes, 11. Please, who are the dead there? The other apostles, right? Whether it is me, Paul, or Peter, or James, the other, so we preach, and so you believe. Verse 12. Let's read 12 all together. One, two, go, yes. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you? That is, if we are saying, if we have said, no, he first told you who they are. Higher. He first told you, see, I'm talking about me. I saw Jesus. He gave you his CV. Say, if we say Jesus rose, how say some? How dare you have your own, say my own is latter day. Jesus is this. How dare you say, amen? It's not reason. Let's see the, after he first gave credence to themselves, now explain doctrinally. See verse 13. If there be no resurrection from the dead, then it's not Christ's reason. And if Christ is not reason, then it's our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. Hallelujah. No, that's serious. He didn't say the preaching of Jesus. So say our preaching. We. Then our preaching is vain. And if our preaching is vain, then what also? Your faith also. 15. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. 16. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain and you are yet in your sin. Higher. He said, if we have said this, how dare you say it is not so? This is why we have confusion. We don't respect these guys. So, these men, by the reason of being the first church fathers, have the authentication of God. These men, by the reason of being the first church fathers, they have the authentication of God, the stamp of God. The stamp of God. Looks like it is by chance, but sorry, you cannot upsearch their place. I cannot have my own thing. I should not. I should not have my own definition. I must not have my own priority. I must not say, Paul, let go of his right. Me, I cannot. Oh. Paul Peter said the same thing. They all said the same thing. Like, you know, in that lexicon of right now, I explained to you that is the minister's perspective. For instance, does that stop the Corinthian church from giving to Peter, to Paul? That means the minister, his own, he will focus on his own portfolio. The minister is taught of God not to merchandise the gospel, right? But also, the saints are taught of the same God to what? Communicate. That's why if you read the same 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, talked about giving to. But you now see how Peter did, how Paul did it. Did he tell them to give it to him? Is it to give to who? He said, now saying in this chapter 16, when in the first day of the week, when you make contributions, you know, do it willingly, freely. At. Are you with me? So he told the saints, do your job, but his own job is what? Is to be abased among them, especially because they are not yet matured. That is doctrine. Revelation 22. Their words. Now, focus on the lesson in this. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Say freely. Now, he now went back to doctrine. 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall what? Add unto him the plague that are written in this book. 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from these things which are written in this book. Now, of course, if you understand better, some of those plagues there, you know, they are figurative. Are you with me? Otherwise, you see a horse riding on a horse called death, riding on with 10 horns. Some of those plagues, they are figurative. So also, is putting a credence on their work, on what they have said. He said, you cannot add to this. You cannot subtract from it. And funny enough, they just use this one to close the Bible. Hallelujah. That means your Christianity should be to explain this. Say we have street perimeters. Say Christianity is not a religion of evolving knowledge. It is static. It's there. What we have been doing all this while is to explain what has been written. It's static. It's not evolving. Every day, God will just show a new path. Wow. Jesus is a snake on the hand of Moses. Wow. Galatians 1 verse 8. Come, I decided to call this teaching so that it can be chewable and edible. 1 verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. This said that then apart from the, what, which one that Jesus has preached, no, then what we than that which we, verse 9, as we have said before. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. All pleasing creatures on their work. He's saying all we have said, we expect you to follow. Let's go to 2 John. 2 John. Verse chapter 1, verse 10. You'll be happy you are here today, especially if you have a mind to, if you have a mind for the gospel. You'll be happy you are here today. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Wow. For he that bideth in Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. That's strong, right? Now, see, all this I'm saying, do you know why? It cannot make sense to you if you disdain church authority. All this I'm saying, you will not understand. Firstly, if you don't belong to a church, you can't understand. You just look like, why is this man emphasizing church so much? You can't understand. If you disdain church authority, all this will not make sense. You will not understand why Paul says, my words will judgment for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3, 4. You don't understand why Paul says his words will judgment for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Why one say I'm of Paul, and that say I'm of Apollos? Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Are you there? Now, see, so then neither is he that planted anything, either watered, but God had given the increase. Now, he that planted and he that watered are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are the God's building. But so we work in you. We work among you. We labor on you. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have what? Laid the foundation and another build thereon. But let every man take it how he builded thereon. See verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So now, if any man build upon his foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, whether it shall be revealed by fire. Because, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work shall abide, which he hath built thereon, what will happen to him? He shall receive a reward. Say reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. That means he will not receive a reward, but himself shall be saved, yes, so by fire, knowing not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 7, if any man defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy, meaning he will, his work will suffer loss. The same thing, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Destruction there is not saying God will kill him. Say context, same thing. Verse 18, let no man therefore deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it's written that he taketh the wise in their own crafting. And again, God knows the thoughts of the wise that they have been. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, for thou, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, what life, death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, don't discard men. Say, don't discard men. Say, they are the conduits of God. That's the point. God is what God works in men, through men. True men. Romans 2:16. Men are the conduits of God. They are the channels. Channels of my spirit. That's men. Sorry. God, men are the channels through which, by which God blesses. Romans chapter 2 verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Please open. Open. Romans 2:16. According to my gospel. Very clear. People say God will judge the secret of men according to this gospel I'm preaching. Of course, my gospel is the gospel of Christ. I mean, his gospel is the gospel of Christ. But he's putting emphasis on the fact that this gospel is the platform under which God will judge the world. Romans 16:25. I'm sure you are writing. Don't get tired. Sorry for the long day. It's still be longer. I mean, okay, not longer. We are getting close. So at least the sun must go down. Then we will see part of the moon. Then we shall go. Romans 16. Don't get tired. You are here for God. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to who? My gospel. Which is the what? Preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. 26, but now it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all men for the obedience of faith. 1 Timothy 1:11. My gospel, according to my gospel, according to my gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That's a lot. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. For instance, do you know it is the words of a man that became epistles? Do you know? Hello, brother. For instance, let me use, maybe if I come this way, you will understand a bit more. Do you know if, for instance, hope you not get me wrong. Okay, I know you will not. If, for instance, if somebody that, somebody like, let me say, Pastor Nainka, that was a minister in the days of Paul. Hope you know all those hyper grace will become an epistle. Do you understand? E.g., when Paul was writing to Timothy, was he supernatural letter? Was he a physical letter? He was writing, right? I'm writing to the church in Ephesus, and he was stating them. Hey, to the church in Canada, and he was stating. How come these words we became binding on us? When Paul was writing all that, he was not writing with the mindset of I'm writing to the world. But God in his wisdom. Oh God. Said the first New Testament ministers have spoken. Every man will be judged by this. I will explain. Focus on this. 2 Timothy 2:8. I will explain. Just hold on. I will give you the right words. Just don't get tired. If you get tired, you will discourage me. Remember that Jesus Christ is a seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Not the gospel. What do you write in your book? Is it the gospel? The Bible says the gospel is my gospel, right? Who is the my? Is it me? Paul, right? Thank you. Go to 1 Peter 5 verse 1. E.g., see, honor men. Let me show you the reason. 1 Peter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Immortality. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, not but willingly, right? Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Say ready mind. Brother Joshua, do you still have a ready mind? Huh, Baba? Do you still have a ready mind? Verse 3. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That's in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that So they will, he said they will receive a crown of glory. But who ordained them? God or men? Men ordained some people. Now say, if you guys labor very well, God will give you a crown. Who ordained them? Who put them? Who put them? That means somebody saying, I get bookie. Okay, bookie, be there. And now men ordained you, you show yourself faithful, and God said you will reward us. Say God works through men. Titus 1 verse 5. Or I will say it this way, God ordained them with the tool of men. God ordained them with the tool of men. With the tool of men. Titus 1 verse 5. With the tool of men, with the discretion of men. Discretion of men. For this cause left I thee in Christ, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lucre. Titus 1:7. So, see those qualifications. That means now, man shows you, then you approve yourself. There was a time I told you that God will appraise saints will be based on church appraiser. Remember when I said something like that in this church? Huh? I say how God will appraise us in heaven will be based on what? The church appraiser. And some people think it was extreme. You know the only thing that we added in heaven? Intention. I'll come to that. I'll get to that in maybe past 11 or 12. Maybe that is not today. But what will be added? What cannot be seen right now is what? Well, can we see labor? Can we count labor? Well, what is the extra thing that God will now see? Intention. Do you know I can be saying Satora is good, she's good, she's good, she's good. But I never knew she's good because she had 5 talents. Sorry, I will explain that talents very soon. Just don't see it as what God gives or something. But I'm not saying, you're not doing fine. You're not doing fine. So, e.g., oh God, should I fast forward right now? Our 5 talents may not be visible initially, but when the other 5 that the one that she reaped, right? When that one comes, we will see that one. Now, the one that had 1 talent, we may not know that it's because she's not performing this well because she had what 1 talent. So we'll be acting her every day, right? Acting. Do more. Right? You only come back with 1. Do more. So at the end of the day, I told that the accolades to the man with 5 is the same with the accolades to the man with 2. Are you with me? Praise God. So what we see clearly is that the extra thing that God will judge is what? Intention. That means, wait, Hebrews 7:22. So men will appraise you. Men spoke and God approved. Men. Something like that. Men just spoke and God approved. Why? The issue is that we discard humanity too much. That's the issue. Why you have a problem with that space? Because we discard humanity too much. Even your Jesus is yet a man. Do you know? Hallelujah. I mean today. Immortal, yes, but a man. Glorified body, yet a man. See that one from this scripture, Hebrews 7:22. Don't get tired. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, and they truly was many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continued forever, he had an unchangeable priesthood, and based on that, he's able to save to the outermost them to come to God by him, saying he ever lived to make intercession for them. Hebrews 10 verse 11, the verse 10, 11, and every priest standing daily ministry and offering of his time, the same sacrifice which can never take away sin, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This man, 1 Timothy 2 verse 3, for there is one God and one mediator, 2 verse 5, between God and men, 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And of course, in his glorification, we shall be like him. Yet, are we going to be angels then or men? Men, but like angels. Talking about the body, right? But men. Say men. Say Jesus is yet a man. Don't forget, that is the creed in 1 John chapter 1. That if you deny the humanity of Jesus, you are preaching another gospel. I mean, if you say he is not a man, if you say he didn't come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Any gospel, any doctrine that is saying Jesus did not come in the flesh is what? It's not of God. It's of the Antichrist. Say Jesus is man. Currently, that's the point. He was God that became a man. He was God. That means divinity that became humanity. If you doubt the divinity, salvation will become impossible. If you doubt the humanity, the redemption will be a lie. Can God die for sin? No. Can God shed blood? No. Can God? That means all the cry of Jesus is film trick. Thank you. So, see 1 John 3 verse 1. So, we shall be like him in the glorification. What manner of love is this? Go open your Bible. Don't get tired. Don't worry. We will have this like once in a month or once in 2 months. Long days like this. So, this day is upon you. Just give yourself to it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, 1. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Same thing he's saying in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Talking about our revelation, manifestation, disclosure, apostasia. Behold, I show you a mystery. Past, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the tinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That means we shall be like him. Revelation, manifestation, disclosure, apostasia, 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, which is saying that all death is swallowed up in victory. There is none of this scripture is saying you will not be a man again. Jesus is a man. Thank you. See Romans 8:18. Same thing he's saying here. So if I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. That's talking about how Adam, the ripple effect of the body that Adam gave us. But I told you that if there's anything that Adam is responsible for, that's the body of man. But by the reason of him who has subdued, I'm fasting this one, is that this is not the topic, it's just something to explain that even your Jesus is a man, and you too, you are a man, and in the glorification you will be like him. All men. God's plan is worked by men. Coming, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only so, but we ourselves also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to which the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man say, what does he yet hope for? For if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? That is the same thing he is talking about. 1 Corinthians 6:3. So you can know that it's not saying you are an angel will be in the same class. Man has always been greater than angels. Angels won't judge us, we judge them. 6:3, know you not that we shall judge angels how much more things that pertain to this life. Now, see what I explained, though. That's very well. The pastor just said the question for this one. You say you don't know how it's related to the series. See, Jesus right now. That means, okay, we are men. Jesus was once like us, right? Now, the state he is now. Scripture to say we shall what? Be like him. So, let me now backtrack. That means, this is the question. When Jesus was therefore on earth, in what way is he different from your leaders today? It's a question. So, he is the firstborn. Keep writing. He is the firstborn. Let's write another question, which I will answer. Don't write nothing. I didn't say you write, say nothing. But I say, in what way is it different from your leaders today? So, he is the firstborn, God, and we are in him. Okay, we are not the second, but don't say Jesus is firstborn, we are second, third, fourth. No. We are in him. Amen? It's identification. So, he is the firstborn, we are in him. So, apart from that, you should simply receive from your leaders as receiving from the Lord. Receive from your leaders as receiving from the Lord. Because he came, Bible says he's the firstborn. Right now, we are new creatures. All things are passed away. So, right now, that means we are not comparing ourselves with the incarnated Christ. Amen? Praise God. We are also born again. We are talking from redemption. We are talking from new birth. I'm not talking about from Fatoba's family. I'm not talking from our ancestral lineage. We are speaking from new birth, right? Praise God. We are speaking from new birth. That's the datum. That's the beginning point of ministry. Go back to the same Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together great unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Wow. So I beseech you, start to take the instructions from your leaders more serious. Start to take it more serious. All I said to say this. Church authority is God's authority. The authority of the church is the authority of God. Amen, amen. Praise God. Church authority. Don't discard the church because of humanity. Say church authority is God's authority. That's a lot, I know. It's God's authority. Amen, amen. So, Hebrews 13 verse 17 now. Hebrews 13:17. Let's now read slowly. Want to go? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they must watch for your soul as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable. Hallelujah. Praise God. Church authority is God's authority. Is God's authority. So we must be orderly. We must minimize the disorderliness. Avoid dishonor. You are committed to a place. Anything should not just take you away. Before the cock crow that escaped to the east. Or somebody promised you 10K. Ah, pastor, I'm coming. They are gone for 3 weeks. For instance, in this place, I don't instruct you on things that I have not taught. So, my pastor must not be committed to church more than me. My pastor must not be more committed to church more than myself. More than myself. Why? This is our place of ministry. So we play our part. This is our place of ministry, so we play our part. I will explain this, more of this, that should be maybe in past 10. Amen? Okay. 5 minutes break, we continue. Stop this.